Log Talk Radio.
Right, y'all, I'm disrupting all kind of stuff, knocking stuff over, doing all that. What's happening? It's a Wednesday. We're live on the Kay Thompson Live Show, which is now Kay, Son, and Friends. I figure, you know, we move forward. This is what my mom always talked about doing, all of us, my sisters and I. You know, she would always say, one day you can do this or whatever. But here we are. Here I am, still doing it. So, welcome to the first episode. The friends are, as you know, my brothers, their co-hosts, Wayne Gilman, legendary newsman that worked with my mom at WLIB for all those years, Byron Saunders, historic, history-making historian, gives us perspective, also journalist, talk show host as well. So, you know, there's a lot of stuff happening. As we said earlier, I'm going to be getting my cousin, Congressman Don Payne, to call in, so he can call in and talk to people. A lot of people, a lot of his constituents are going to want to hear from him. You know, we are trying to get some, in the course of this dilemma, this emergency, this disaster, one of all of those things that you want to call it, you know, it's hard getting accurate information out of the White House, as we all know. And when we do get the information, it's always in some sort of way, particularly when you hear the president talk. He's always using these words like he always throws in terrific, fantastic. You know, there's always some way he's looking to make himself or make the efforts that they're making look, you know, positive. And it gets to be tired after a minute after seeing that, just to say the least. I'm trying my best to kind of change my language a little bit when I talk about this dude, because, you know, sometimes people want to focus on the language you use as opposed to the message that you're trying to give them. That's when you usually realize that the message is probably not for them if they're focusing more on the words and not the message. So I know that I'm talking to a lot of people here that are willing to receive the message. Congressman Don Payne Jr., a lot of people, you know, that's my cousin. We've been brought up in public service, civil rights, you know, the evolution that a lot of African Americans made that had parents back then in the 60s and were younger than them, that were trying to make something happen, try to improve the lives of black people, fight back against the oppression, this history long, 400 several centuries long oppression that we've been going against. So that's what we've been raised in. The only thing I've been around longer than the entertainment business is civil rights, is community activism, is all of those things. So being from the city I was from, it was prevalent that you would have artists and activists, politicians and activists, people getting in the establishment, the system, trying to make it change. From the Barackas to my father and those guys doing it the political way, the Barackas and all in between, and everybody that supported those efforts, the people that you never hear about that still were active in the movement and still active today. So that's how we were raised. So now that this responsibility that has fallen upon my cousin and other members of the family to serve, you know, it's kind of natural, but we understand that you do things to serve the community, serve your neighborhood, serve your hood, whatever. That's what it's about. That's why you hear the phrase, all politics are local, right? People send you to do a job for them to speak up on their behalf in your neighborhood, and that's what they do. So, boom, that's where we are. That's why we want to make sure to give out all this information and get as much information to. We have this platform here, and so it's a platform for which Congressman Payne, my cousin, can get information out to his constituents, let them know what's going on and all that. I'm going to bring in the brothers here. First, I'm going to bring in Byron Saunders, legendary historian. Byron, how are you doing this evening?
Well, my brother, it's nice that we got a new moniker, but it's in the, like you said, in honor of your mom. Like, she really was trying to get us to move to this next level, and thank you. I'm standing with you strong, as I'm sure Wayne is, and I'm here in Washington, D.C., the cesspool, and my goodness, oh boy, do we have a lot to unravel tonight. Like you said, the lies, the obfuscation. This is worse than we probably even conceived of. But I got information tonight that I want to share with you and our listening audience, as well as with the congressman, because the origins of coronavirus is going to shock a lot of people. I did some homework this week. Find out where it got started, even in the federal government, which you would expect not to have at least some decorum of understanding. You don't do that. And so we have to unravel and get to the truth, because that's the thing that's going to provide us wisdom and an accurate forecast of how we're supposed to address this, how we're going to deal with the pandemic, because it's, I heard some stuff on Amy Goodman. I can't wait to share it with the congressman on Democracy
okay,
Now.
Hey, Byron. Byron, yeah. We're going to go to Wayne real quick because your connection is really bad. Yeah. So why don't you call us right back real quick. Hang up and
call
us right back.
Right,
I'm going to go over to
okay.
Wayne. Hey, Wayne, how you doing? Wayne?
I guess you're right. I just switched phones because I had a poor connection myself. You know,
yeah, I can hear it in yours as well.
It's not that great. Can you hear me? Or
I can hear you, but it's bad too. But go ahead, continue talking until we get let Byron reset. Go ahead, what you were going to say.
Okay, yeah. Well, the only thing I can say, I'm basically going to parrot pretty much what Byron just said. I mean, I just think that this country has gone through a colossal change that no one, not even my parents, experienced when they first came here. And, this the back and forth that this could have been avoided. Basic, junior they are in their thinking. I mean, there's no, the deal is, I think the whole thing about leadership, if you yourself fail to have the empirical information to get certain things solved, you're going to bring people around that you feel that you could trust. But every time that you make an appointment, and you put somebody in an acting position, and whatever they're acting for, it's been their wheelhouse, and you cannot accept criticism, then we have a problem. You
right.
know, you're throwing out the baby with the bathwater. I'm sorry. You know,
okay.
I don't mean to bring it down to that, but, you know, I just feel that I just got out the doggone hospital. I don't want to be dealing with this nonsense now on a personal level. And I can only imagine people that I came across the past 5 weeks who are still going back and forth and are faced with this. You know, and there's no, and New Jersey and other parts of the country might be a little better.
Right.
And they say that if we don't have any federal help in terms of the ship that they're sending to Midtown Manhattan, the floating hospital, they're going to need more than that just to keep this place going, because you have people
right.
in the hospital to be compounded by those who have been tested and need to go in a hospital for treatment.
Okay, Wayne, let's put a pause in right there because you are breaking up. I don't know if you're calling me from your landline or your cell phone. Which line are you calling me from?
okay, I called you from my landline the first time, and then it just got progressively worse. I can barely hear Byron, and then I'm calling you now for my cell, but I can try you again.
Yeah, try to call back. I know Byron is on the other line, but we have the congressman on the line, so I'm going to go to him right now. Let him talk a little bit. Congressman Payne, how you doing? You sound like you have a bad connection, too. Obviously, they knew we were going to try to talk about things tonight.
Good evening.
Yeah, your connection is totally you're going to have to try to, if you can, try to call back because we can't even hear you talking. So I don't know if the internet is being overloaded, but try to call right back, Don, because we can't even hear you at all. I'm going to go to Byron real quick, see if we get a little bit better connection. Byron, how you doing? Byron. Byron Saunders. Oh, this is some kind of sabotage
thing. I'm here
thing
as well,
now.
And I still got connection. So.
Okay, you still got it. But go ahead. I mean, that's a little bit better. But go ahead, what you were going to say earlier, and then the congressman and Wayne are going to try to call back.
Well, when the congressman calls back, and you're able to get him, because let me pass the question to ask, located in the United Kingdom. This is extraordinary information that needs to be passed on to our awaiting public for accurate information. For the last week, we've heard the president and people in his administration identifying it as a Chinese virus. This is absolutely incorrect. July 23rd, 2015, the Per Bright Institute is located in the United Kingdom. They got the patent for the virus, which is man-made.
Hold on. Let's go to the congressman and see if he could talk a little bit. We've got him back. Hold on, Byron.
Yes.
All right, congressman. All right, congressman. Hold on, Byron. Hold on, Byron. Go on. Go,
yes,
congressman.
Sir.
Let's see if we can. Congressman Payne. Congressman Payne. That was Wayne. I opened up Wayne's line. That was you, Wayne. Sorry about that. Let's see if we have Congressman Payne on, too. Congressman Payne.
Hello?
Yeah, there you go. Congressman
Hello?
Payne. We can hear you.
Yeah. Okay. It's still a little choppy on my side. I'm breaking up still.
Yeah, we can hear you. We can hear you the best, actually. So go ahead and what would you like to say? I mean, about what's going on with the coronavirus, and while we have you, we can hear you the clearest. So give us your thoughts on it.
Okay, I actually couldn't hear what Byron or anyone was saying.
Don't worry about the question. Just give us your thoughts on the coronavirus and what the government's response and what you want to let your constituents know.
Well, the first thing I would say is let's not panic. You know, we've been through F1, M1, we've been through Ebola, we've been through quite a few. It is true that it is the first time it's really impacted our nation to this degree. But, you know, we are having difficulty with the what it needs to do. We're relying more on the states right now to do what needs to be done until the federal government can or if ever catches up. But I've been in contact with Governor Murphy, and he is on it 24/7. I talked to him before 8 o'clock this morning, and he was giving me good information. So I serve on Homeland Security, and obviously this is a national security issue. And I had a hearing last week in Washington on the COVID-19. And we are adamant about catching up and getting the people the testing they need. In New Jersey, we have two FEMA groups that are here in Monmouth and Bergen counties, where the two hot spots. But subsequently, now Essex has become a hot spot. So we're trying to get a third team into Essex. And I'm sure they're doing the same side, same thing on the other side of the river in New York. I think Governor Cuomo has done a stellar job in keeping people readily informed on what's happening. We're doing the same thing on our side. But I would continue to say don't panic. It is serious. But if we do the things that we're supposed to do, stay at home as much as possible, just go out to get food and that type thing, but stay in your homes. That is the best way to quell this. If you're in your homes, it cannot spread because you're not spreading, meeting with other people. So please heed that warning. If there's no reason for you to be out, don't be out until we're able to get a handle on this.
Right, and what we also you want to say the heed the warnings of the washing your hands, the being ever vigilant, being aware, practicing the social distancing, and things like that. Those of you that aren't social distancers, I personally am a phobia, am anal about that, obsessive about my personal distance and space. I don't like people standing too close to me, just unnatural. And also too, you know, anybody that's been an actor on stage knows that people kind of spit when they talk. If, for example, you can smell gas that someone has passed, or when you go to a ball game and that person, you can tell when a person not too far away from you has had that hot dog and that beer and they belch, it's kind of the same concept to me, right? If you can smell that, then there's kind of those molecules, I would assume, in the air that makes it possible for you to smell those things. So that kind of gives you an idea of really what you're looking at, to me, when not only this virus, but the flu in general. And I don't know if Wayne or Byron, I got you guys' mics open. Let's see how you guys sound if you have a question for Congressman Payne.
This is Byron, Congressman Payne. Thank you for being on the show and giving us detailed information and clarity, which we sorely need. My question is this. Secretary Treasurer Steve Mnuchin declared today that the potential for the unemployment was to spike to 20%. Now, I also heard that 3 out of every 5 workers in America are hourly workers. That's 60% of our population. So if the spike in unemployment gets to 20%, somebody's been cooking the books, because we've been fed this misinformation. That kind of clarifies some of this information, if you can, because it's constantly coming out in lies and obfuscation.
Well, the economy has been going very well, but that was, you know, under circumstances where we did not have this pandemic. So things have changed dramatically and drastically in the last several weeks. I mean, this pandemic is fluid. I mean, you know, my children have to come home from their colleges now. And I'm in a very high-risk category. I'm of the age, and I have a compromised immune system because of diabetes and kidney failure. So I'm going to be going back to Washington to self-quarantine myself from my children. So it's very serious. Yes, they are saying that on the outside that 20% unemployment could be possible, but that is the ultimate worst it could get. I don't think it's going to get there. We just are working on a package of $1 trillion, not a B, $1 trillion, and they're going to be direct payments to people. And so we are, at the Congressional Black Caucus, are sounding the warning about homeless people, about hourly workers, about the guy that plays the trumpet in the jazz band in the bar on Thursday, Friday, Saturday to make his money for the rest of the week. So we are honed in on our populations that will be disadvantaged by this. And we continue to push the administration with letting them know that we are not going to be marginalized in this thing as we normally are, and we're going to continue to push, just trying to make sure that everybody is taken care of. So I'm, you know, watching very feverishly at what goes on and what is going in this packet. Nancy Pelosi and her people are working very diligently, and we are reminding Ms. Pelosi every single day what needs to happen for communities such as ours.
Congressman
and also
Wayne Gilman here. How are you doing? And welcome again,
okay.
And thank you for coming on. I have a question. I at the top of the show, and forgive, I don't know if you can hear me clearly or not, but, you know, I had to register my angst. I just personally have gone through an ordeal, having had a relatively healthy life at this age of 60, blah, 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 blah. I came down with prostate cancer, and something that it runs in my family. Thank God I got away from a witch doctor here in the Bronx and was able to get better treatment at the cancer hospital of the world. But I'm saying all this to say, to make a long story short, I just spent the last 5 weeks in the hospital, and I just found out, you know, just as I'm departing, this crisis has hit a fever pitch. I mean, it's like off the charts. It's like all of a sudden we were discussing the impeachment and trying to get Biden elected or someone elected in the Democratic Party. And then it seems like that's not even in the news cycle anymore as much as this COVID-19 crisis that we have. I guess what angers me the most, and I mentioned this to Eric and Byron, is the fact that, you know, there was an office in the federal government that keeps a watchful eye on conditions like this, pandemics. And it's to my understanding, and I'd like to be corrected if I'm wrong, that Donald Trump back in 2017 cut the budget for that particular agency. And then after that, he appointed people who later fired because a lot of this has spiraled out of control, largely because of his inability to keep an eye on what was going on. Is that true?
Yes. This president is totally inept. And we have started to call him, I won't mention which members, but the Black Caucus, and I'm going to use it, we're calling him COVID-45. And, this is all at the feet of the president. The dismantling of these different agencies and departments is all on his purview, and it is absolutely incorrigible. He will pay for this. He cannot hide from this. This is his Waterloo. This is a situation where we need strong leadership, and he does not know how to provide that. He's very fortunate, as Dr. Carucci has come and kind of saved him. I have a lot of faith in him. He knows what he's doing. Why not hire Ron Klain? I mean, you know, they're so partisan. Why not? I am of the opinion, like, if you have an attorney that got someone off with the problem that you have, that's that attorney. If there's somebody that was able to stem off the tide of Ebola and letting it get to this country, you know, the few African nations were having that outbreak again, call on him to help you now.
Thank you. He's done this.
He's been there. You know, forget, damn the politics. This is not about politics. This is about people that have the ability to save and work in the situation. He should call Ron Klain. I had him before me. Like I said, I had I'm the chairman of Emergency Preparedness, Response, and Recovery for Homeland. Any national disaster, man-made or natural, comes through my committee. FEMA answers to me. And several other agencies. Any disaster comes through my committee. I don't know why I picked this committee, but, you know. But right
we're
now,
glad
it's that my... Oh, absolutely. And I'm up in the morning talking to the mayors in my district, to the governor, the state police, and back down to D.C. All day from my daughter's bedroom. And, you know, I'm going to have to go back to Washington to self-quarantine myself with my three children. But it's
wow.
that serious. I understand
wow.
what I have to do. And, you know, I'm in a very high-risk category. But I'm not panicking. I've been given direction, and I'm following those directions. And that's what people have to understand. You've been given directions
yeah.
to this point. Continue to listen to those directions because it's an evolving fluid issue. They're learning more every single day. They're getting
exactly.
more tests ready every single day. And it's a matter of us catching up from when the president just thought this was a joke, a hoax, a Democratic hoax, or a Chinese issue. Now he sees what it is. And you can see his demeanor change now because he's scared. But he doesn't know what to do. He's not a leader. And people have to remember that in November.
I hope so.
Right.
People are
right.
Have to
I was going to say, Congressman, you know, it's imperative now. It's that we all keep our eye on the ball and all be vigilant in terms of addressing what we need to do to help this virus flatline, because people going out, people don't know who's got
right.
it, so everybody's mingling, so you can't get a handle on it. So it's very important that we heed
important.
The advice of the government. However, or not however, but it's just interesting to me that that this is a party and a president that spent the last 3.5 years, and we're not going back to blame, but we want to put in context how we got here so we can learn for the future, right? Shakespeare said with his past is prologue. So if we don't learn what happened and how we got here and understand that this man called it a hoax, when perhaps did he really believe it wasn't a hoax? Because he said, I always knew it was a pandemic. So let's remember how we got here, the dismantling of the pandemic agency or those officials that have handled it before that was passed on to them. And when they say we're all in this together, yeah, we're all in it together now, but you guys spent 3.5 years demonizing the Democratic Party. I mean, is it or is it not true, Congressman, that Mrs. Pelosi had to deal with Steve Mnuchin because the president was so caught up in his feelings and acting so much like a juvenile, he was not speaking to Mrs. Pelosi, the other head of the co-equal branch of government. Is that true? Is there some validity to that fact?
Well, I know that Steve Mnuchin was the point person on this, and it would make sense because he's actually the dollars and cents guy. So, I'm not surprised that he would be in it. The president doesn't know, you know, the president, the great businessman that he is, doesn't know, you know, the breakdown of the numbers. So Mnuchin is the right person, I believe, to help get this stimulus package going. But we're talking about $1 trillion, gentlemen, $1 trillion in different industries. So nothing to sneeze at, pardon the pun, but, you know, we're all doing what we can to make sure that the American people are safe.
Okay, let me also ask
I have a quick – I'm sorry. I have a quick question. I have day laborers who occasionally work for me, and they've been calling periodically. And these people, I mean, some of them are documented. Some of here are just on work visas and things like that. When they lose money, you know, that's it. If I'm not there to hand them something, you know, is there any of this money that's being offered, how would that impact a community like that?
That's a good question. If they are getting paid not on a payroll.
No, payroll. And I got someone told me to refer them to the United Way. There's some economic relief fund, but I wonder if that would even be of any help to them.
With whom?
Apparently, someone said that the United Way has offered an economic relief fund to help people who are in trouble. But I think that would be geared towards working somewhere, that sort of thing. It's just this, and you'd be surprised. There are a lot of people in that labor market who are just doing things as opposed to hiring regular contractors to do work. And I'm not saying that the work is less than substantial, but the bottom line is very often they're grateful to do a day's work that I can't even get some in my own community to come out and do, you know. And I'm saying that with all due respect, you know. But I often wonder, I don't know what to tell them.
Now, that's very true. We're going to have to, have that in the equation. There are 11 million people here, you know, supposedly, undocumented and working. The safety net has to get down to them as well somehow. Off the top of my head, I don't know, but, you know, there are brighter people than I working on these issues, and that's something
right.
that I will definitely take back. When we have conference calls basically almost every day with the entire Congress. And we've had the first member of Congress test positive. And, we were very, very stunned by that. But, I mean, he's part of the population here. And it just came out tonight. What's his name?
He's Congressman
worried about
Ballard.
Ballard.
Mario Diaz, I think Ballard, right? A GOP congressman from know exactly where, but I saw that earlier.
Mario Diaz Ballard. And so, no one is going to get away from this thing.
Right.
You have to do what you've been told. But I still have our office. We still have staff in the office that can potentially help to the degree that they can.
Do you want to give out hold on for a second, guys. You want to give out a number that people can call you at your office, Congressman, or would that
No, that's fine. It's 973-645-3213, and that's the main office in Newark. But we can accommodate Jersey City and Union County, Hudson County and Union County number, and then we'll get it to the right person to handle the issue. 973-645-3213.
And also, let me just throw out
one more time.
Go ahead. Give that one more time.
All right. 973-645-3213.
And I was going to say to everybody, for further information, or if you're curious about any things, or you can get updates on what the congressman is doing, it's payne.house.gov is the website, payne.house.gov, which will bring you up to speed with all of the things that the congressman is doing to go directly to his website. We're going to be offering this as a service, you know, have him on every so often, every couple of days to give you guys an update. If you're listening to our show and you have a question for him, on the page you're listening on or on our Facebook page, you can put the question up, and we'll make sure that the question gets to the congressman. Hey, Don, I want you, before we go, guys, hold on for a second. Don, I want you to talk about a bill that you had signed into law, the interoperability bill, if I'm pronouncing it. And the reason that you brought that up, presented that bill in the House was because of the Katrina disaster, right? And you know, let me just backtrack. The congressman is a little bit downplaying his efforts of being a part of that committee, the Emergency Preparedness, but he chose it very strategically because he represents a district that is a highly sought-after target for things like terrorist movements, terrorist activities, and things like that. So he was being quite smart in choosing that committee to be a part of. And this bill that you introduced is something that makes the agencies able to communicate a lot easier in the course of a disaster or a situation like this. Why don't you speak and address that a little bit so folks can be
yes.
aware of it.
And, it really goes back to 9/11. The 9/11 report came up with a few recommendations, and one of them was the what they found was during 9/11, say New York City Fire Department and Yonkers Fire Department and Mount Vernon Fire Department were all on different floors, but they could not communicate with each other. So no one could tell what was going on from floor to floor.
Mm.
And subsequently, you know, we had what happened. Had they been able to, it might have been not very much different, but, you know, being able to communicate could have, you know, they might have been able to say, look, get out of here. It looks like it's coming down, whatever. But they were not able to communicate with each other. So there has been a move afoot to get interoperability is what it's called, interoperability. That means that Mount Vernon can talk to New York while they're talking to Long Island, while they're talking to New Jersey, Jersey City. And they can all be on the same frequency and know what's going on at an emergency situation. So it was a tough bill to get through because Homeland Security is built of 22 different entities came together to be Homeland Security. So, you know, everyone
wow.
wants their, you know, their you know, their turf not stepped on. So there was a lot of silos in Homeland, but this bill commands them to come up with interoperability working in Homeland's department, and it's been a really great thing for the department. They're working together much better, and, you know, I'm just really proud of that bill. It actually went through. It was my first bill passed. And as a freshman, or maybe in my second, not my second term, but the second part of that Congress, and it went through the House of Representatives, 378-0.
Mm.
So no one voted against my bill on the Republican side. So that was quite.
It makes a lot of
but
sense.
It was working hard, right? Yeah, it was working hard. But they'll still find a reason. I mean, there were four people that voted against the anti-lynching bill in the House. So they'll find a reason. But,
so has that bill become law?
That.
Was that bill signed into law, or is it still awaiting signature?
Oh, which one?
Your interoperability bill.
Oh, yeah. No, it's law. It's been law for about 4 or 5 years.
So it was signed into law by, I guess, President Obama, correct?
Yes, yes, sir. I have the pen.
Right. So, and because of, you know, you might want to explain to people that might not know the reason that you're on this emergency preparedness or, you know, the information you told me about this being the most dangerous 2.5 miles. What is that exactly again that you can repeat to our listeners?
Yeah, my district, I don't know if we want to alarm them, but my district is considered the two most dangerous miles in the country because there's nowhere else in the country where the rail, the interstate, the seaport, and the airport are all within a two-mile radius. And if you go out 5 miles, then you have chemical installations as well. So it's called the two most dangerous miles in the country. And that was one of the reasons I went on Homeland Security. And also, my other committee is transportation infrastructure. So they are very confluent with each other, in what I'm doing. I'm either protecting infrastructure or repairing it and making it better. So I'm very proud of those two committees.
And these are two very important committees, important responsibilities to the people of your district. The infrastructure, people being able to travel. I mean, these type of things address the average American. One's ability to get back and forth to work or wherever they need to go, child care services for their children. These are kitchen table issues. And you were ahead of it when you saw that, and unfortunately another disaster, and you saw the need for that. I got to tell you guys something about my cousin here. A long time ago, when we both worked for our family business, for my father's business, and he was into the printing business and got involved and started and came out of school and was working, did a couple of years of school and started working in the family business that had to do with printing. And eventually he became the person to go to at the plant, the person that knew all of the operations that were going on from top to bottom. And my father would often rely on Don's opinion about what really was going on the floor. You know, people talk about all of these bills and all these big things, but as the average American, that obviously we all know makes the American economy, the engine of America, run, right? So Don has a specific ability to understand the problems and the nuances, to understand what makes those things run, and which is why he introduced that interoperability bill. It seems those are the type of things that all of us, average people, think are just common sense. And sometimes that's what you need in government, people who have that common sense, understand those linchpin things. So, you know, it's not often or that you like to give praise to your family members or you're surprised by things that they've done, but that was something that's really impressive. And people listening and constituents of yours should know that you're forward thinking in those matters and in terms of service. You know, we say it's not about all of the extra stuff. It's about the work that you do. And that's good work there. I have to give it up to you. So
thank you.
Congressman, thank you. As a person who I did 5 months of post-Katrina work in New Orleans, so I really do appreciate your efforts in that arena. It was most needed, and certainly when Sandy hit in New York, it was as a result of knowing we had that kind of instrument that the president and FEMA and the Office of Government can help the constituents of New York get through that. I have a question for you, Congressman. I discovered that, and of course today the president is vilifying the Chinese and Asian Americans by using racially derogatory terminology that's going to drive the opportunity for us to be profiling the Asian community. But here's where I want to pass this on. I discovered that the patent for the coronavirus was done July 23rd, 2015 by a company called the Per Bright Institute, which is located in the United Kingdom. And it's important for the information to be out here because, as we know, if it indeed was created and patented in Great Britain, obviously militaries in China, Russia, Great Britain, United States, weaponization by the militaries of these powerful countries. So we need to make sure that when the president does this, because he created it when Ebola came about. You remember President Obama was hugging someone who came back from Africa, and obviously the right wing establishment of our political body picked it up and was calling it the African virus. So we really, Congressman, please go back, and if any censorship should be given to those who are using this as racially profiling Asian Americans, because you know right now Asian Americans are catching hell in our country because of this.
Yeah, we've heard about that, and the president was drilled on that today by Yamiche Harris, who is a really great reporter, and you know, she brought that up. There's some of them are starting to call it the Kung Flu, you know, and Yeah, we can't have that, and we're going to denounce that at every turn, because we can't have that happen.
I think the one thing, when I was listening yesterday when the reporter asked him why did he refer to the virus as a Chinese virus, and he just said, well, and he said it so arrogantly. It's like the words just tripped off his tongue, like it didn't matter, you know.
It wasn't that attitude that drives me up the wall. It wasn't arrogantly. It was ignorantly.
Yeah, right.
Don't give him any credit. It was ignorantly.
Ignorance, yes, this is true.
The other thing, Congressman, that I wanted to pass on, because I was listening to Democracy Now!, Amy Goodwin. I know you're familiar with her work and Democracy Now! On public television. Her account of this a couple of days ago indicated that Americans are susceptible at this very moment to be anywhere between 150 and 180 million Americans will have either contracted the virus itself and become sick, or will be carriers. Congressman, that's half our population. We got 350
right.
million people in this nation, and nobody's coming forward to say that's the pandemic crisis that we are confronted with right now, and they're trying to minimize it as if it's only a few thousand people. 180 million people, Congressman.
Well, we can't. Well, we don't know the numbers until we can get a decent test. First of all, that's the first problem. We don't know what the numbers are because we are not testing enough people. So, you know, until we can test enough people, you know, those numbers are, you know, they're out there, and it could very well be, but it also could very well not be. So we need the key is to get people tested so we can do what we need to do for them. It's the fear of the unknown is what is driving this.
Exactly.
And no one is giving the American people enough information to do what they need to do in order to be safe.
And Congressman, I take it personally, because I was down at Lackland Air Force Base February 12th through the 14th, because my oldest son, that was his graduation from the United States Air Force National Guard. They had 750 students there. It was rumored that the coronavirus patients were being quarantined on the base. And I know it for a fact because my son's mother had a reservation on the base motel and was canceled as a result of housing those individuals on Lackland Air Force Base. Now, it was a whole month later that the base commander was interviewed on national television on ABC, and he confirmed that there were indeed placing those victims on the base. Now, the motel, Congressman, was right in the middle of the base.
And
I'm telling you, I went down. That's right, but I was there 2 days before I went down. I know, but 2 days before I went down, I had the flu and almost canceled my trip, but nobody gave us that information on the base. It took a month later for that information to be revealed, and I felt very compromised by health and my son and the 750 cadets who were there and the 1,000 people who were on the base for the graduation could have been subjected to that virus.
Yeah. Right, but I'm sure that they had them quarantined and handled in a manner in which that's not the case, because you didn't get sick, right?
Well, the motel was right in the middle of the base. It wasn't in a far remote place, and we passed by there several times. So I mean, it's
okay. Well, the only way you get this virus is interaction between people. So just passing by the building is not going to do it. You have to come in contact with a person that has the virus.
Yeah, and it's ever-changing. Things are, you know, some of the reports I've seen earlier, like
right.
you're talking about some things. But last question to you, Congressman. How do we prevent ourselves from getting here again in the future should something else happen? You know, the reports
mm-hmm.
come out, you know, they're saying that in terms of hospital beds, you know, what, 95, less than 100, if 100,000 hospital beds in the entire country, and, you know, the numbers of what this could potentially be. You know, I know there's a formula, you know, how many people, the rate of how many people are going
right.
to get sick as opposed to how many hospital beds we need. But even that number would seem low just regularly for a population of some 300 million. And I guess my question is, do some of the programs that the Democrats put forth, it would seem that they would allow or probably best to maybe encourage that we, you know, are better prepared in terms of having resources like that. You know, I was talking to Christy, and you know, she works for a medical device firm, and discussing with her about that very subject, it would seem that, you know, we could be better prepared. And she said, well, you know, you got to remember, it still is a business, right? Hospitals are still a business, and in that, obviously, having overstock and say we're going to have 1 million hospital beds on the standby in America because we have a population of 300 million people. It just is a better formula for us should a disaster like this occur.
Right.
I'm wondering if that's something that government can regulate, I guess is my question.
Well, that would be the government. Your sister's right, but that's where the government steps in to have that.
Mm.
They shouldn't expect the hospitals to have it. They should have
right.
the equipment ready and prepare for hospitals to use it. And each one of these things, Eric, is a learning. We're learning a great deal from this
exactly.
experience. So the next time it comes around, you know, we won't be caught as flat-footed as we are. Hopefully we won't have the same president. Hopefully this is the only one in our lifetime.
Lifetime,
but,
exactly.
I mean, this is, look, the earth, every once in a while does this. There's been the Black Plague and all different kinds of plagues that have wiped out countless numbers of people. It's just the earth taking care of itself. I mean, if they're overrun by people, guess what? It's gonna take down the number of it's gonna take the number down through nature.
Right. And in nature, you might have some of those individuals that make germ warfare, too, for those of
yeah.
us that are conspiracy theorists a little bit. But, you know,
yeah.
we're about at the end. We're about at the end. We want to say thank you. Thank you, Congressman. You know, it's hard for me sometimes
when
we start talking
can
like
I,
this.
Can I say,
not to call,
can I say
go ahead.
One other thing? Just so you know, in China, they already have the thing under control. They're flatlined. All right. So the problem was with, once again, COVID-45 ineptitude, we should have had doctors over there the first week this thing came out so we could understand what was going on and get our behinds back here and keep it from coming over here. But no. He doesn't want to do that. He's separated us from the world, where we could go anywhere we wanted to get any information we wanted. Why?
Exactly.
Because we're United States of America.
Exactly.
But now he's shown a weakness and an ineptitude that is second to none. People all over the world want to know that what is going on. How is this guy your leader? It's a joke.
It's a joke
around the world. And it's serious.
There it is.
It's a joke. Serious, and here we are with his ineptitude at the head of this country, and doesn't know what to do. No leadership.
He's got to go. I want Whistler's
listen,
mother in there at this point.
Listen,
somebody's got to take
if
him out.
Bernie, listen. If y'all Bernie people, it doesn't work out for you. You can't leave Trump in there. I'm telling you. If it
no
doesn't
said.
Work out for Bernie, I'm telling you, Bernie's. You can't leave Trump in there.
Thank you.
Enough said. There it is. Congressman gets the last word. We're going to do the politics next time. All right, want to say thank you. Thanks. It's hard for me not to call my cousin by his nickname, but thank you, Congressman, for letting people know. And just so everybody knows, he's going to be here from time to time, letting us know what's up. Wayne, why don't you say goodbye to people real quick, because we got 90 seconds.
I just want to say it's an honor and a pleasure to be on with him and your family again. And, you know, we need another hour. That's all I can say.
Absolutely, absolutely. All right, thanks, Wayne Gilman. Byron Saunders, historian, brother.
Yes, peace and love. Peace and love always. Remember, we are the majority. Use your vote to make change happen now.
There it is. There it is. All right, thanks, Byron. Thanks, Wayne Gilman. My cousin Don is doing, he's doing the work in there. I'm proud of him. And like I said, we're always going to be make him available, definitely, to everybody that might have questions about, about what's going on. So we're going to continue to do that. He's going to continue to have access. You're going to continue to have access to him. That's what we do. You know, if we're in a position to do it, we're going to do the right thing. And, you know how we do around the neighborhood and in the community. Thanks for listening, everybody. This is first little episode doing with a little bit of a new name, but the same love and flavor. Love my mom, Citizen Payne. I'm Kay's son, and those are my friends. Talk to y'all later. Peace.